Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. So glad to have you along here for episode number 113. Oh, amazing. It seems we just had Christmas. We're past New Year's. We're almost to Valentine's Day. We'll be thinking about that soon, but we still have plenty of arts and entertainment here remaining in the month of January, but at least it's going to make this month go quickly. What we're going to talk about today is Sioux Falls Simplified. It's a new news organization, one person band right now, and her name is Megan Raposa. We're going to talk to her about that and some of the arts and entertainment that she carries and covers in that. And we're going to tell you how you can get involved by subscribing to it and making sure you get news that has no BS to it. Just the facts, and it lays it out and then tells you why it's important to you, okay? All right, and then later on in the show, from Mighty Corson Arts Players, Brian Shipper is the artistic director there this year. They have two one-man shows coming up next week on Friday and Saturday. On Friday night, Nathan Sparks is in Tom Payne, Based on Nothing. That's the 28th. And then on the 29th, on Saturday, Ryan Howe, Every Brilliant Thing. Talked to them earlier this week. We're going to have that interview for you later on in the show. And it was a great time indeed.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner. It's here.
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty. We can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party.
Oh, such a fun way to celebrate this week for our Weekend Eve toast. It goes out to the proprietor of one of our advertisers from Ale Hop Brewery Tours. We say congratulations to Jason Schlechter. He was this year's in-town Shriner of the Year. Big organization, lots of people in that. They do great works for kids. And congratulations, Jason Schlechter. Way to go! You know what, Jason? You should really think of taking this up, because the Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. No matter what brewery in Sioux Falls is your favorite, Ale Hop Brewery Tours will take you there. They'll let you and your friends choose any of the eight, or all eight, or throw in Glacial Lakes Distillery, or ask them about Wine Wednesdays. No matter what you want to do, you can book a private tour online, alehopbrewerytours.com. That's alehopbrewerytours.com. Already out and about on a weekend? Hop on one of the public tours. For more info on those, call 605-777-2183. That's 605-777-2183. And guess who you'll get a hold of? Jason Schlechter, Shriner of the Year, and also the proprietor of Ale Hop Brewery Tours. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews.
Honorable mention.
Oh, what made Dave smile, laugh, chuckle, guffaw? I tell you what, it was a huge, huge smile this week. Our honorable mention goes out to the winners from the Broadway World Sioux Falls Awards, including Best Performer in a Play, Aaron Sharp, in Mighty Corson Art Players, Charlie Cox Runs with Scissors. Saw that. It was excellent. Best Production of the Year, Blood Brothers from Premier Playhouse. Best Supporting Performer in a Musical from Blood Brothers, and he's been on the show, Tristan Chasing Hawk. Best supporting performer in a play, Elizabeth Schumacher, from Exit Laughing at Old Town Dinner Theater. We saw that last year, too. If you want to find out a list of all of the regional Broadway World winners, go to BroadwayWorld.com/Sioux Falls. And congratulations and big round of applause to all of the local winners, and especially those that I was able to see, at least. And hopefully you got out and saw some of them. But especially for Blood Brothers, just absolutely phenomenal, directed by Robin Byrne, not just the artistic director for that show, but also executive director of Premier Playhouse. And then Tristan, he was the one that I told you, I saw him, it's like, I got to get this kid on the show. He's amazing. So congratulations there. All right, so what do we have coming up? At the end of the show, speaking of Mighty Course and Arts Players, we're going to be talking to Brian Schipper, Artistic Director. They have the two one-man shows coming up next week on Friday and Saturday that star Nathan Sparks and Ryan Howe. We'll talk to the three of them. But up next from Sioux Falls Simplified, it is Megan Raposa on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps Fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for your listenership, for your sharing on social media, whether it be, you know, TikTok. Well, we're not really up to speed on that one yet. I have that more so for the granddaughter so I can see what she's up to. If it's Facebook, if it's you are on Twitter, or you're doing the, I think the kids now call it just the Instagram, or maybe they call it the Gram. I don't know. But regardless, wherever you're sharing and making sure that other people learn about all the great things going on in the arts and entertainment world in the Greater Sioux Empire, I certainly appreciate it. By the way, we're very close to 7,000 downloads. So by the end of this week, maybe we have some great news to report on that. It wasn't all that far back that we hit the 5,000 mark, so certainly appreciate it. All right, let's get to talking about arts and entertainment and how people find out more about it by talking to Megan Raposa from Sioux Falls Simplified. I have been telling people about this. Everybody I run into, I say, hey, did you catch that article on Sioux Falls Simplified? Well, I didn't know anything about it. And I sent them your way, Megan.
I really appreciate that.
You're quite welcome, because what it is it's basically an online newspaper. Mm-hmm. You don't have to print anything out. It's going to be there for you. And the name says it, Sioux Falls Simplified. You have such a great writing style, because you take the nuts and bolts, you lay them out, and you tell the facts, and then from there, what those facts mean. Yeah. What got you started with this?
Yeah, thank you for the kind words on it. I journalism has been a passion of mine. I've always been a writer, but journalism specifically I found in college here at Augustana, so I haven't strayed too far from home. I guess it really started with, you know, my career started at the Argus Leader. Mm-hmm. I, in the time that I was there, just saw the the shift happening in the journalism business model, and seeing, you know, the people sitting next to me and the desks next to me emptying, mm-hmm. and feeling like, you know, I want to retire as a journalist, and, you know, I'm not quite 30, so I've got a ways to go. Yeah. So, I wanted to figure out maybe there's a new way to do this and a new business model. And I had the opportunity to do some work with the Google News Initiative and their entrepreneurship boot camp. I just sort of put together a model and have just been testing it. It's not quite a year old. So it's so far, you know, I joke that it's too soon to say if it's successful or not. But
well, I think it's successful, and my wife thinks it's successful. In fact, it'll be funny because about 6:15 on a Wednesday morning, we're sitting there looking at it, and she'll say something. Did you know that? I said, no. And then I realized that she's about 2 stories ahead of me.
That's great.
But it's so fun to see it in such a great presentation. So how many subscribers do you now have?
I am just over 2,200. So,
had a big... I would love that for downloads, people.
Yeah. It's it took a while to sort of see the growth happen, and now it's happening. So it's been exciting these
That's
last few
incredible,
months in particular.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that one of the things that you did send out, not a begging for money, but a, you know, plain and simple, you know, simplified once again, if you want to continue to see this news, I have to have a little income from it.
Totally.
And there has to be something to be able to provide that to you. And I know that part of that is also a little bit of expansion, too.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. You know, part of the model for me is I want to keep the content free and accessible. I think, you know, journalism costs money to produce, and it's super valuable. And I think the people who recognize that are going to be willing to, you know, kick in a little change here and there to see that happen. And Sioux Falls is a really generous community. I mean, I think people
True.
Recognize the value Yeah. of having a good, reliable local news source. And so so I certainly appreciate people who've contributed to that. And part of what that lets me do is hopefully this year expand to adding another issue each week to, you
oh,
know,
wow.
I have an intern lined up for the summer to help
Excellent.
Start getting more content out there. I'm just looking to grow. I want to be, you know, as relevant and timely as possible. And so that takes more than just, you know, me and my laptop in my kid's bedroom half the time while she plays. So
Augie intern?
Actually.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Pays to know people, you know?
So. That's excellent. And beyond that, I mean, are you looking to go to a brick and mortar or?
Probably a ways away from
okay.
from something like that, just because, you know, it's
expense. Yeah.
And folks work from home a lot of the time now.
That's
we're
true.
Increasingly learning that. So yeah. So who knows? I think there'll be opportunities in the future. And I'm excited about the potential, but yeah, I think it'll be a pretty lean operation for a long time.
Okay, but the model seems to be working for you.
So far, so good.
Yeah, well,
you
know what? We're here at our wine bar. This is a wood table, so there we go.
We
knocked on wood
yeah.
for it. We got that all set. And also, you are putting together, and it's nearly complete, correct?
Correct.
A Welcome to Sioux Falls guide.
Yeah.
Where will this go?
Yeah, so it'll be online like all my other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can find it on my website like anything else. But the real goal is to just get it in front of as many people, particularly folks who are new to Sioux Falls. I know we've had a ton of people joining our community in the last several years. You know, they just last week 200,000.
Right.
Yeah. So so no shortage of growth. And I also think there's a contingent of the population and you know, I'm still figuring out who it is, but I think there's folks who've maybe lived here for a while and just haven't stepped up and gotten engaged in the community, whether that's, you know, with a nonprofit or participating in local government or whatever it might be. So, you know,
we're not knowing that we have a vital downtown.
Well, yeah, that too.
It's amazing how many people you could talk to and say, oh yeah, we were down at Arwine. We were over at, you know, Chasers or not Chasers, but over at the Woodgrain,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. And people like, oh, where's that? Yeah. Well, downtown. Oh, maybe I should get there sometime. So lots to be had yet.
Yeah.
What do you see as, you know, maybe stumbling blocks at this point to the growth of your operation then?
Yeah, you know, I think awareness is the hardest thing, and being a fairly small startup, you know, there's not a massive marketing budget like a bigger news corporation might have, or, you know, I don't have the longevity, the community presence of you know, the legacy media outlets in town. So it's just a matter of kind of getting out in front of folks and saying, hey, I'm here, I've got a seat at the table in our local media scene, and, you know, if this option works for you, excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a really important part, because you mentioned the fact you have over 2,200 subscribers now, is the fact that obviously you're getting some great feedback just by those numbers. But what else are people saying about it?
Yeah. You know, I get a lot of compliments just on the style. I think people, you know, you don't have a lot of time and necessarily a lot of attention span. So being able to get sort of the highlights of what's going on and not feel like you have to, you know, drudge through a, you know, 1,000-word story in the Sunday paper or watch half an hour of TV. I mean, it's really consumable in the same way that you would read any other email in your inbox. You can just kind of scan it and take what you want and leave what you don't.
Yeah, kind of like news used to be. I'm somebody that was in the broadcast news for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to think of what, you know, it used to be the inverted triangle.
Right.
You know, you had that big headline and then you just kept going down in lesser value to the story in terms of the facts that were needed and so forth. And then, you know, along came interpretive leads. And then all of a sudden, seems like everything's kind of interpretive. And I guess that's what I like about reading Sioux Falls Simplified is the fact that, and I'll use the initials, there's no BS.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just straight, boom, hit it, and here's what it means. And that is so great to see that, and I have the feeling that you're going to grow exponentially in this next year. And hopefully that means
hoping.
Financially,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, here's
hoping. And, of course, this is a arts and entertainment program. And that is one of the reasons I brought you on, not just because I thought, boy, you know what, it's a cool little bit to get your news, but part of the news is arts and entertainment. And that is a segment that, in my belief, I don't have any statistical part on this, is that this last decade just exploded. And we continue to have more places that have art in them in terms of the visual arts.
Absolutely.
We have more places that allow you to perform. With the growth of downtown, I know that a friend of ours, we were talking one night, and it was like, you know, if you started at Blarney Stone and made your way down to Severance on a Friday night in the summer or a Saturday night in the summer, you've got so many places you could eat, so many places you could have drink, and you're probably going to run into 20 different musicians. And so it's just a fantastic thing to see for those of us that love arts and entertainment. And so you've already been touching on some of the things. Do you see that part of your reporting growing as well?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, early on I sort of set out, like any business, you have the idea of what people want and then they tell you what they actually want. And one of the things that I got feedback on pretty early on was that people wanted more kind of, you know, current events, for lack of a better word, and not just events like city government, but, you know, hey, what's going on a Friday night? What's going on a Saturday night? And so fairly early on, I added a little segment of just stuff to do each week. And it's, you know, it's never hard to fill that section of the newsletter because there's always, you know, some band playing somewhere or some play happening or some, you know, I mean, there's just, I could probably do a whole newsletter of just that.
Easily.
I'm sure someone could fill that niche for us.
In fact, when I first started this program, I was thinking I was going to have a calendar on it and so forth. And then I saw how much work that was going to be just for that. And so now, just at the end of the show, when I do a little wrap up, I will say where I'm going to be going to take different things in. And then I always tell people, you know, just look on Facebook, look on social media somewhere. You will find something. You cannot be bored here.
Yeah. At the very least, you'll find like a brewery with a guy with a guitar. I mean, they're like,
exactly.
And that's, you know, I mean, that's a good night out in my book any time. So, and to have the options. I mean, it's funny, you know, we just talked about the community guide. I was just putting together the part of, you know, what do people in Sioux Falls do for fun? And it's, you know, it's eating out. It's seeing musicians. It's going to plays. It's walking around the sculpture walk. I mean, there's just so many different options. I think you don't necessarily realize it when you first come here. And then as the longer you stay, the more it becomes apparent that, you know, there's really quite a bit of art and culture in this town.
That there is, even the architecture itself.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
We've got, you know, you take a walk downtown and look around, and it's like, my goodness, there's some cool-looking buildings here.
Yeah.
And then even, like, when we're in a place that's a modern restaurant, you know, here we are at Arwine Bar, but in an old historic building, and then the renovation of, you know, what they did to bring it to modern standards, but keep that old world flair and so forth. So there's, as has been said on this program by several people, there's art all around us.
Well, it's cool. I mean, even look at just in the last year, you know, the city is even putting art on the utility boxes downtown.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, like with the Art Box project, you've got the people who come out in the summer and paint the storm drains. It's art even in places where you wouldn't generally expect it. So I think that's what's pretty cool to see, too, are little projects like that.
No doubt about it. What is your association with the arts? You went to Augie. They have quite the arts and entertainment programs.
They do.
And I know that we have a mutual friend, Mo Hurley.
Yes.
Who is just fantastic. And I've done some work for Mo. And she's going to be on this show sometime when she's not so busy being in plays.
Yeah.
But what types of things have you experienced and that you really appreciate about the arts?
Yeah, one thing that I am forever grateful for at Augie was befriending a lot of people in the theater department,
mm-hmm.
which has served me well. Just I'm not an actor myself, but I love going to a local show, especially, you know, stuff like the smaller theater companies in town and Monstrous Little Theater Company was started by some good friends of mine. I think the Goodnight Theater Collective is great.
Mm-hmm.
Even the community theater rebrand, I mean, the Premier Playhouse, the Christmas Carol production they did was unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
So I'm a huge appreciator of the local theater scene, and I'm grateful for that. And yeah.
Are we ever going to see more than a newsletter in your writing style? Is there more that you'd like to do? Short stories, essays, novel?
You know, I know better than to say never to anything. I think one of the things that I miss about being at the Argus Leader was helping with some of the long form narrative journalism mm-hmm. projects. And there were some fantastic, reporting that went on when I was, there. And it's cool to be able to work with another reporter and see how you can take a big issue in the community and summarize it and tell a story through the eyes of one person and take that lens and broaden to, you know, the bigger community and help people connect to an issue. I think there's real value in that type of storytelling. It doesn't fit with what I do with Sioux Falls Simplified, but but I love that style of writing and being able to take investigative things and make them into a narrative. So who knows what the future holds, but I think there's, you know, I mean, certainly the Argus Leader does a great job with it. I think South Dakota News Watch does a great job with some of those deeper investigative things, but I don't know. You never know. There might be opportunities to expand to more of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I like writing. I've always just kind of joked that, like, as long as someone will pay me to write, I'll write. So
what was the first thing you wrote?
You know, when I was about, I want to say 4 or 5 years old, I didn't know my ABCs yet. You know,
right.
I couldn't write myself. But I would dictate to my mom, and she would write down in my journal. I had a little Tweety Bird diary.
Mom.
Yeah, she's always a supporter. And I just stumbled across a picture my mom had shared a few years back, and it was an About the Author page that I wrote at age 9 with a little story that I put together. So when I say I've been writing forever, I really do.
You
mean
really
it.
Have,
yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
first paid thing that you did, what was that in terms of writing? Was that the Argus or was it prior to that?
Yeah, it was prior to my full-time gig at the Argus, but I did some freelancing back when Jody Schwan was running the Business Journal mm-hmm. over there. She let me take on a story. And it was about a community program that I don't know if it ever existed much longer than what I wrote about it, but it was just a little feature on somebody was trying to get started. And it was my first byline, and that really lit a fire for me. So
how's it feel being a startup business? We already talked, you know, in terms of the numbers of subscribers, the people, you know, giving you good feedback and so forth, but just the feeling of accomplishment, what's that like?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so strange because it's this juxtaposition of, you know, the sort of outward facing of, like, you know, this professional website and all the content I'm putting out and all the work that I'm doing and connections I'm making and things. And then there's, you know, my day-to-day life of, you know, sitting on the ground in my kid's nursery while she plays and writing, or, you know, my makeshift office in our house. And you know, there's times where I think it's a little overwhelming to think that, like, what's been accomplished just in that type of environment. And, you know, we're all still navigating the craziness of the pandemic and it's just such a wild time. And, I don't know, I'm just like the word that keeps coming to mind is just grateful. I mean, it's just insane to me that I quit my job, and it was my absolute dream job, and to think that I've been able to create, you know, my dream job again, but on my own schedule. Yeah, which is fantastic. Just amazing. So
yeah, and what is it that you actually go to and to get the reporting from? You know, are you going to city council meetings, county commission meetings? Where are you headed?
Yeah, little A, little B. I mean, it's you know, the main sort of areas I cover are city government, education, kind of nonprofit community news, mm-hmm. A little bit of health news, just given the world that we're in right now. It's a lot of looking at meeting agendas. It's a lot of just, you know, trying to touch base with folks who are in positions of power and pick their brain on what's going on and what's important. It's a lot of just keeping track. I think a big thing of in journalism is just remembering, you know, hey, this is around the time of year that, you know, pretty soon people will start filling out paperwork to be on the ballot for the April election. Right. So key in on that, or, you know, pay attention to what's going on in Pierre right now. And, you know, I think it's a little of just paying attention.
I just found out this past weekend that our neighbor is going to be running for house in South Dakota.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's like, wow, yeah. Okay.
There are a lot of announcements coming out. Yeah.
No doubt about that. All right, Megan Raposa, it's been great getting to know you. But also, you know, as we said, we do talk about arts and entertainment quite a bit, and we're looking forward to more of that out of Sioux Falls Simplified, because it'll be straightforward, just like everything else that you do. But what do you like to go out to when it comes to arts and entertainment? What makes you go, this was really cool?
Ooh, now I'm put on the spot. It's hard to pick just one thing.
Doesn't have to be just one.
That's fair. Yeah. You know, I admittedly don't get out as much as I used to, but
now that you have a child,
that'll happen with an almost 2-year-old. But no, you know, I love when there's music playing at a local bar or restaurant, because you can kind of, you know, get a couple of forms of art in one place. I love going to local plays. I love walking around downtown, especially just that bridge by the Arc of Dreams. You know, I mean, it's just, there's a little bit of magic to it. Just kind of, you know, standing there taking it in. And, you know, I really just, I love seeing local people pursue their passion. I mean, that's, you know, my passion's journalism, and I love doing it, but it's just as fulfilling to me to see, you know, someone who loves being in a play be in a play, or someone who loves performing music. I mean, it's just there's just nothing else like it.
Yeah, passion is a huge part of it.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that the word that comes up so often while we do this show is collaboration.
Yes.
We do not have a necessarily competitive community. We have a collaborative community that likes to help each other, that likes to help new businesses such as yours, and they want people to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on, you know, how each of us define our own success, obviously, but it's fantastic that we have that.
Yeah.
All right, final question then. Any other hobbies besides taking care of an almost 2-year-old?
You know, really, I just like to spend as much time as I can reading. It's something that I can do easily and cheaply at home and with a library card. And I my goal is to hit 50 books this year. So
okay.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. So not quite one a week. You're going to take 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. You know.
That's Christmas always a good goal.
Yeah.
It really is. I think there was a time when I was pretty close to that a few years back. But I put that on this year's 2022 goals. I don't do resolutions. I'm a goal person. And I did say read more. I didn't put a number on it, but just read more. Actually, I think I said read all the books that are on your nightstand that you haven't done yet before you buy any others.
That's the real challenge. I think buying books and reading books are different hobbies.
Yes, they are. All right. Megan Raposa from Sioux Falls Simplified. Tell people how they can subscribe and how they can get involved in getting your newsletter on Wednesdays and then maybe down the line, another time during the week, too?
Yeah. The best way to find me is through Sioux Falls Simplified's website, which is just sfsimplified.com. You can also, you just shoot me an email. It's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at sfsimplified.com. So happy to chat with you.
Appreciate all the information. Appreciate the time as well. Thanks for being on the Dave Holly Hour.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You'll be back, I'm sure. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist. I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation. And that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, my hand won't foul.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
A Sioux Falls Stage Awards special distinction for promoting the arts. Here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. It's always a pleasure to talk about such great entertainment going on in the Sioux Empire. Just a few miles away from the big city, you're going to find the lovely town of Corson, just on the other side of the interstate from Brandon. But what you'll find is a great little theater with great productions. And this year actually got a couple of bonuses tied on to it. Next Friday and Saturday, there will be two one-man shows. Brian Schipper, who's artistic director here, is the man that's going to be producing both of those, directing them. And then we have Nathan Sparks, and we have Ryan Howe. So all three of them are here, and we get to talk before they have some rehearsal time. And then you'll want to be getting tickets for both, I'm sure, for next weekend. Brian, how are you, first of all?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm also well, thank you. Always great to see you. So tell us how this came about that we got the two one-man shows, and we're going to have them on the same weekend, but on different dates of the weekend, correct?
That's correct, yeah. About a year and a half ago, I pitched a one-man show script to Ryan, Every Brilliant Thing, because I like it a lot and I wanted to do it, and it just sort of sat there waiting for the right time to do. And about a year ago, Nathan came to me and said, "Hey, here's a show that I've really been interested in for a long time, Tom Payne Based on Nothing, which was coincidentally another one-man show." And looking at the two of them together, they have the same narrative through lines. They're completely different in how they approach the topics. And so it just made for a really interesting compare and contrast. And so the three of us decided, hey, let's do something crazy and something that we haven't done before and make a repertory event out of it.
Yeah. Was it tough to sell it past the board at all?
No.
They were all for it?
Yeah, they've been Very, very supportive and super interested to get something like this off the ground as well. So it's a really neat and interesting way to have a new dynamic to interact with artists and have the three of us sort of being the proving ground for that, where it's an artist-driven collective that we're partnering in sort of a joint venture with.
Yeah. Nathan, have you done a one-man before?
No, this will be a first time for me.
So. All right. And what's it been like so far through the rehearsals and so forth? What have you thought about the whole process?
It's definitely different. One of the things I love about acting is interacting with other actors and just kind of building that chemistry and just that camaraderie and family bond, like the theater family bond. But it's just kind of me up here. So kind of just playing in the playground by myself and just a little direction from Brian, who's been great with that. And just trying to see if I can hold my own for an hour on stage, so hopefully hold people's attention for that long.
How did you approach it in terms of the script? Did you look at it line by line, or was it like, oh my, that's a hell of a monologue?
Just one line at a time, yeah. And then just add another, then another, then another, then another, ad nauseum till you get sick of it, yeah. And then here I am off book, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, once you get to that point of being off book, then it has to be this huge relief, doesn't it?
Oh, it is, but then it's always just like, oh no, I forgot this word and stuff, so.
But how long did it take you to get into the character?
I think once we started, like, actually meeting for rehearsals and stuff, we kind of having discussions about how we viewed the character, myself and Brian, just kind of bouncing ideas back and forth and just kind of still ironing it out these last couple weeks before we open. So it's always going to change and morph. No rehearsal is quite the same. So we just try to find that balance and so hopefully strike the right one for the performance. So,
Ryan, how about you? First time in a one-man?
Yeah, I've done some smaller cast shows, three, four people, but this is the first time just taking the stage just by myself.
What's it like to take that step?
It's thrilling and terrifying and challenging and all these different things. I haven't done a show in about a year and a half, so that is another wrinkle of like, oh boy, I hope I still have it. Like, it's just, you know, shaking off the rust, and it's like, what better way to do that than by saying, this is me, this is what I've got, and not necessarily having any supporting cast to rely on to shore up any weaknesses or anything. It's just the vulnerability is at its peak.
All right. So it's going to be, Nathan's going to be on Friday night next week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you're going to be on Saturday night.
Correct.
You're going to feel the pressure of already having one done by Nathan?
Oh, absolutely.
And then like, okay, I've got to be as good?
Yeah, well, yeah. And, you know, and that was evident from the first rehearsal. Nathan is one of those top-notch actors, and anyone that's seen him work, whether it's been here, Premier Playhouse, and really anywhere. Sorry, Nathan, I probably everywhere else too.
Can you hear me blushing?
But, you know, he's one of those people that his characters are so distinct, and there's a specificity to every performance that he does that, yeah, there's absolutely the pressure to come out, albeit with a different show and a different tone, but to deliver something of that similar impact that people are going to come and say, man, I'm really glad that I came to both shows.
Right, yeah. And so Nathan, for you, starting off the block then, what's your philosophy about that versus being on the first show or the second?
Well, it's all riding on me, huh? So, just try to treat it like any other performance and stuff like that. Just do your best, get it out there and stuff, and hope the audience is receptive and willing, and that, you know, if you mess up and it's a one-man show, you know, they really get to see you stumble through it that way. So,
how much improv did you allow them, Brian?
Not improv, necessarily. The scripts, especially how well written they are, a lot of the text just needs to come as it does. But there is a certain amount of playfulness in timing and the occasional mm-hmm. interactions with the audience, because even though it's just a one-man show, and as much as Nathan and Ryan say that it's just them up here completely vulnerable to nobody, in a situation like that, the audience does almost become complicit in the event that's going on as well. So there are some elements where there's the flexibility and the fun of being able to just play with that in the moment, which is where I'm super excited to see them both just shine.
So are you going to have opening night jitters?
Oh, I get jitters before every performance.
Okay,
and stuff.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, you've got the one shot. So it's got to be exciting, and like you said, Ryan, as well, as terrifying. Brian, tell us about each of the plots. First of all, with the Nathan show, with Tom Payne.
Sure, and actually, why don't I let them talk about it?
That's fine.
They've been working with the scripts individually, and I've sort of been marrying the two together. So, specificity on that. Take it away, boys.
Oh wow! Okay.
On the spot.
On the spot, always in the spotlight. Oh, get my light. Yeah, Tom Payne really is a man kind of musing about growing up, kind of honing in on the beauty and the not-so-beautiful parts of growing up, where childhood ends, adulthood begins, relationships with parents, friends, or lack thereof, romance, just kind of detailing his thoughts on what his life's been like and asking questions to the audience to think about where their lives have been and what they're going to do growing forward. So,
what did you think you had to do to approach that character?
Kind of had to go to a bit of a dark place. The show does go to some uncomfortable places at times, but life can be uncomfortable. So it's really just embracing the beautiful and the ugly parts of life and just being willing to show that vulnerability, but also sometimes the darkly comic as well, because life can be funny, sometimes darkly so, but there's still an optimism that goes through the show as well towards the end. It's just, isn't it great to be alive and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. So,
all right. All right, Ryan, your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every Brilliant Thing is the story of a list and the man who writes the list. It's a man reviewing his life, beginning with his recollection of his mother's first suicide attempt. And from that, he begins writing a list of every brilliant thing, all the things that are beautiful and wonderful and worth living for. And you see how this list transforms his perspective and the perspective of others that he meets. And the list just keeps growing and it expands beyond your traditional pen and paper. Similarly, it's a tale of depression and childhood ending and growing through adulthood. But you know, there is more of that playful tone of, you know, how does a child of seven view the world and think, you know, what things do they think that are wonderful versus when you get into a teenage life versus adulthood? You know, how do those perspectives change?
So I understand that from the first time you read it, it was pretty emotional for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How so?
Yeah. It took me a while to actually get around to reading it. Usually is the case when Brian sends me things, because we're usually in a show, we're working on some project, and you know, we're spitballing and says, "Hey, I've got a show for you to read." And you know, I was just in a mood where I was like, "Man, I need to feel like an actor again. I need to feel like I do something." And so I just pulled up the script and I acted it out, you know, in my room. And by the end of it, I was bawling. It's one of those scripts that has a universality to it, is what I've been saying.
Right.
It's there's a line at the end, near the end, that says something to the effect of, if you lived a long life and you get to the end of it without ever once having felt crushingly depressed, you probably haven't been paying attention. Right. And so there is a little bit of levity in that,
yeah.
In the sense that, like, you know, it's something that most people can relate to. And those are the stories that I tend to latch onto the most.
Brian, what attracted you to these scripts?
You know, a lot of the same things that, for instance, for Every Brilliant Thing that Ryan mentioned, is exactly why I pitched it to him so long ago, because it does have that right mix of charm and bite to it that I always love in a script, and when Nathan brought Tom Payne to me, it was just something so unique and out there, and the language and the flow of it and the structure of it and all of the potential that I could see Nathan could apply to it really just struck me as something that's like, oh yeah, I've got to do this too. And this this is going to take my one-man show directing count up to three, which is awesome. It's always a fun chance to be able to do something new and different, and to have such stellar collaborators as well is really making it a joy.
Yeah. All right. So we've got next week, the dates and the times.
Sure. January 28th at 7:30 at night, that's a Friday, is Tom Payne Based on Nothing, starring Nathan Sparks. And Saturday, January 29th at 7:30 is Every Brilliant Thing with Ryan Howe. Tickets are $15 a piece for a single night, or $25 for both.
You buy the combo.
Yep, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Well done.
Thank
Good
you.
Marketing.
Thank you very much. And tickets can be bought at mightycorson.com/outside events.
Okay. Do you feel that, you know, with a small theater here, that it lends itself to more types of things like this?
I think so. I think so. And I've always said it from the moment that I stepped in here, that there's not another stage like this where the experience that the audience and the actors share, they truly do share it, because you're absolutely aware of everybody and everything that goes on in the room. And that creates for a really nice bridge so that everybody feels not just as an audience member to a story, but participatory in the event that they're coming to see.
Nathan, what got you started? What was it that made you say, I really think this acting thing would be fun?
Well, even back in grade school, I've always had a knack for being dramatic, so. But I think the thing that really kind of lit that fire in my heart was I saw my older sister in a college production of Into the Woods and stuff, and just seeing all that magic on the stage and just the music and just the choreography, just kind of be like, I really want to do that. And so I've been doing that every chance I can. So,
Ryan, how about yourself?
Weirdly enough, journalism, which then got me more into acting. So I wanted to be on the technical side of things initially in high school. I never saw myself getting up on stage. And I think it was towards the end of my freshman year of high school, there was some sort of end of the year talent show thing. Some kids had written a skit, and they're like, hey, we need somebody that just has a deeper voice to, you know, be on a microphone backstage and do like an intercom announcement or something. And they're like, well, you know, Ryan's already working the event. Why don't we have him do that? And it was after that, like, some people took notice and they were like, hey, you really have a nice voice. You have a nice presence. Like, you should get into, like, start working towards journalism. And so I started working towards that, which led into more acting, and it just kind of like kept feeding back and forth until college. Where I had a director like pull me aside and say, hey, I've worked in LA for a few years now. I really think that you have what it takes, if you want to make a career of this, to skip the whole journalism thing and just go straight into theater. Like, I think this is what your true calling is. I never had anyone pull me aside and say something like that before. So that was a formative experience where I was just like, well, I might as well just give it a shot.
So you jumped in.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite part of being an actor?
Oh boy, it's got to be the storytelling. Everything in my life has gone back to telling stories, sharing stories with people, because that's ultimately how you relate on a human level. And so the opportunity to share a different story every time you take the stage, you know, invest in new characters, meet new people, the whole experience has just been wonderful.
Brian, what's this experience been like for you working with these two very talented actors?
Yeah, yep. This experience has been a lesson in containing imposter syndrome, quite frankly. looking at the two of them and saying, hey, what the heck am I going to do to stay a step ahead of them and have an answer for when they have a question for me?
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a really fun and interesting challenge, having to step my game up, especially because, you know, when we got started with this, they had the script for a month and a half before we actually started rehearsals. And I'd been helping with the winter show at MCAP after coming off of Orient Express. And so they've had this to focus on, and they're prepared and they're ready. And then I'm the idiot in the room saying, surprise me with some really cool stuff. And they do. They do. It's wonderful. Yeah.
So this is, you know, you said this is going to be your third one man, yep. or between these two. This will bring your count to three.
Right.
But also you're going to have more directing credits this year than you thought after taking one show off.
Yeah, yeah. So this was going to be my year to slow down and hand the winter show off at Corson to somebody else. And then I ended up picking up two shows at the same time. And after this, we're going to roll right into the spring show, The Psychic, for the Mighty Corson Art Players, which is going to round out our season. And that's going to be a hoot. That's just going to be a straight-up fun comedy about an unemployed writer who puts a $25 psychic readings sign in his window, and hijinks ensue from there. And it's just going to be a fun romp of some really strange, crazy storytelling with that.
Man, auditions are coming up soon for that, right after you're finished here?
Yeah, they are. So we close these shows on the 28th and 29th of January, and then auditions for The Psychic turn around Wednesday, February 2nd at 7 p.m., and Saturday, February 5th at 2 p.m. For show dates right away, beginning of April, 1 through 3 and 8 through 10.
All right, and how many are needed in the cast?
I should have prepared for that. Let me look at this script.
I got my tough question in.
Six people. Yeah. Six people for that.
All right. So six people. How many do you normally get at an audition to whittle down to the six?
You know, that's where we've been really fortunate in the past couple of years. I remember 5 years ago starting out here doing a three-person show and having one person show up to auditions. And so since then, we've been doing a lot of jumping up and down and letting people know that we're here, to the point where I was a little bit nervous about Murder on the Orient Express, because that's a 10-person mm-hmm. cast. And I still get so nervous because I remember my early days here. And at that point, I think, what was that, like 20?
It was like 25 or so.
Yeah, 25, 26 wow. people showed up for that. So I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to round out a cast of six. I hope. There's some wood to knock on.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, turnout's been fabulous. Actor support in past years has been so wonderful and has really helped us grow and do better things, like what we're doing today.
Yeah. Either of you two going to be auditioning for that one?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will not, unfortunately.
You've got another show coming up then?
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know how much I can talk about that yet or not publicly.
Oh,
and stuff,
okay.
But I also have a wedding to plan for the summer, so I want to stay on the future wife's good side as long as I can.
There you go. Good thinking. No doubt about that. All right. I always like to end with the same couple of questions. Brian, you've been on before, so we'll save you for last.
All right.
Nathan,
yes.
When you're not part of the entertainment scene, what do you like to be entertained by?
Ooh, that is a great question. Ooh. Oh, food for thought. Hmm. I like watching the other entertainers entertain. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not on the stage, I like to be off the stage watching people entertain and stuff. It's always so... just so great to see people showcase their talents and stuff like that and support them any way you can. So,
you know, I've always said any other hobbies, and I shouldn't say that because these are passions and avocations, not hobbies that you're involved in. But mm-hmm. do you have hobbies then?
Oh, sometimes. I try to make time for them when I can. Yeah. I just spend time with friends and family. Yeah. Just, you know, read a good book every now and then and just turn on a record and just... let the music take me away. Yeah. You know, so.
Good thing. Music. Yeah. That'll always do it. Ryan?
Yeah. I'm a huge Dungeons & Dragons nerd now, thanks to Ryan, who got me hooked a couple years ago. So a lot of my time is spent either in sessions with various groups of people or, you know, learning more about that so I can work on my improv skill, role playing mm-hmm. skills, and watching a lot of Critical Role because that's the biggest D&D thing now. So
all right, and entertainment wise, What do you like to go out to besides doing the D&D stuff?
Oh, gosh. I'm terrible about getting out to a lot of places. I'm probably the least film literate person I know. Because, like, if it's come out in the past, like, 3-4 years, I probably haven't seen it.
Unless Nicolas Cage is in
Unless
it.
Unless Nicolas Cage is in it. Yeah. Prisoners of the Ghostland. Perfect. Perfect movie. Yeah, if I can, try to get out and support the other actors. It's tough if you're in a show when other people are doing shows, but it's important to go back and invest back in the community. So. Yeah,
very true. All right, so Brian, what about you when it comes to other entertainment?
Sure. Other entertainment, Ryan has already mentioned one of mine, which is D&D, and I'm getting back into picking up a group with that, and it's a group of other actors, which it means that we'll meet every so often when it's like the 14th of the month and the lunar calendar is correct and nobody's in a show. So it's hypothetical, but we'll get there. So there's that. My son is 15 months old and already has more hair than I do. and I'm trying not to be bitter about that, but he is endlessly fascinating. So he takes up as much time as I can possibly shove everything else away for. And then I'm really trying to be better about going out and supporting other local artists. I get such a tunnel vision here because I'm always so busy, but I've found some really great people that I can take out into the world and experience like all of these arty things that I'm just so used to through civilian eyes, I guess, which is nice.
Then occasionally you'll even run into some people and have a beer with them and listen to some music.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for letting me sit down that day.
That was fun. That was a great night. And then found out that we have more mutual friends, too.
Exactly.
So it's always cool when things can go like that. And it's always great to be over here and to see the productions that you guys have and also just to chat. So Nathan Sparks, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
No, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, Brian Shipper.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, and not just for the time, but for the time you put in, as all three of you do, for these shows. And Ryan Howe, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
So, what else do you have for us? Nothing?
Thanks again to all of my guests, Megan Raposa from Sioux Falls Simplified, from MCAP, Mighty Chords and Arts Players, Brian Shipper, Nathan Sparks, and Ryan Howe. And as well, thank you to R Wine Bar for allowing us to record at that fine establishment. That's where we recorded Miss Megan Raposa. And thank you to Ricardo, the R in our wine bar. Thanks again to Brian Shipper for lining it up over at Mighty Chords and Arts Players. Love going to that little theater. It's just a fun, fun place. And we'll be headed there next week. As to what we're headed for this weekend, Snow Jam got underway last night. The Snow Jam Comedy Festival that benefits Special Olympics of South Dakota. I have a golden ticket. I bought a VIP pass, and we'll be going to several of those things throughout the weekend. We will sneak in something different on Friday night in between three things I think I'm going to, or a couple of things on Friday. Three things I think it is on Saturday. But Friday evening, we're going to take in the performance of Stop Kiss from Monstrous Little Theater. So plenty going on. I like to tell people all the time, you know what, you just take a look at Facebook, you go online and look for the calendar of events around Sioux Falls, you're going to find plenty to do. Don't ever tell me that you're bored. In the meantime, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.